بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As you may know, Toronto will be hosting the Pan Am Games this summer, and the event is scheduled to begin in the second week or so of July, July 10th. And this is the third largest international sporting event in the world. Final preparations are, of course, underway, and I'm sure that athletes who are going to participate in the games are training very, very hard. The organizing committee, I'm sure, is getting all their staff in order, making sure that, you know, everyone is prepared, all the facilities are prepared. And of course, there are going to be rehearsals for the opening ceremony and so on and so forth. So whenever there is a major event, whether it's in a community, in a country, or, you know, in our homes, if we have, for example, an important guest coming over, or there is a wedding taking place, there's obviously a lot of preparation that goes into that event, and that goes into everything that's required in order to make that event or that occasion successful. And this preparation could take days, could be weeks, months in advance. For a believer, the biggest, the most important event of the year is the coming of the month of Ramadan. And our pious predecessors would anticipate the arrival of this month 6 months in advance. From 6 months prior to the month of Ramadan, there would be anticipation that Ramadan is coming. It's getting closer. It's around the corner. And this anticipation would turn to actual preparations. You know, and a person who starts getting prepared 3 months in advance, it means that, you know, most chances are that they're excited about this. They're excited about it coming. They're excited about the fact that they're going to get an opportunity to be a part of this. So 3 months in advance, or 3 months before the month of Ramadan, the preparations would start. And one of our pious predecessors, Abu Bakr Warraq al-Balkhi rahimahullah, the uncle of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the compiler of hadith, he said that the month of Rajab is the month of planting. You know, don't get me wrong, because people get confused and think that it has to do with actual, you know, planting flowers and trees, because that's what we're doing nowadays, it's springtime. No, but this is with regards to the month of Ramadan, and with regards to being prepared for the month of Ramadan. So Shahr Rajab, Shahr Zara, that the month of Rajab is the month for planting. And the month of Sha'ban is the month of irrigation. Because first you plant, then you irrigate the crops. You know, I'm doing a little experiment with my daughter where we've got, you know, those small planters, and we planted different seeds, put it in her bedroom by the window to see how long it takes for the plants to grow. So yes, we planted the seeds, not really anticipating anything, and then of course we had to water it, we had to irrigate it, and then lo and behold, one morning she gets up and, you know, there's something peeking out. Okay, so this is a process that goes into everything that we do. Whenever we plan something, whenever we start something, there's always, you know, the preparation that's required, that the effort, there's the planning, then there's the effort that goes into it, and then you get the yield and you get the results. So he says the month of Sha'ban is the month of irrigating the crops. And the month of Ramadan is the month of harvesting the crops. So the point is that we are now actually at the end of the month of Rajab.
We are now
basically at the end of the month of Rajab, and the month of Sha'ban is about to begin, and then of course comes Ramadan. So figure out what you want to do in Ramadan in Rajab. So plan for Ramadan in Rajab, and we're already sort of late for that because Rajab, as I said, is coming to an end. So this is the time to be thinking about what our Ramadan is going to be like. So we need to start planning this, the sowing the seeds. Start sowing the seeds for Ramadan right now. Start planning for it, prepare for it mentally, and make the changes in our schedule, in our lifestyle, that are going to lead us to having a, inshallah, a successful Ramadan. So this is the time to start doing that right now. So it's basically the pre-warm-up. Okay, so before a big race, you have the warm-up, and then you have everything that goes in before the warm-up. So the mental training and, you know, everything else that needs to be planned for. Then as the month of Sha'ban begins, in a few days, inshallah, then that is the time to start practicing, to actually start training, to start warming up for the month of Ramadan, so that when Ramadan comes, we're prepared. When the month of Ramadan actually arrives, we're prepared. We're not starting like, you know, cold turkey. Okay, so we're prepared, and it's easy for us, and we can actually harvest the rewards, because that's the actual race. That is the actual race. Okay, no athlete's going to be lying around, you know, eating chips and watching TV until the morning of the race, and then say, oh, okay, now it's time for me to go to the race, let me put on my suit and go to the track. It's, you know, no athlete's going to do that, because you know that's a recipe for success. No, it's a recipe for failure. You know, an athlete does that, they're going to fail. They're not going to have any success in the race. Okay? So as believers who want to be successful in Ramadan, who want to take full advantage of everything that Ramadan has to offer, that don't want to waste even a moment of the month of Ramadan, this is the time to actually start planning and preparing. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the month of Ramadan, in the month of Sha'ban, first and foremost, he would be fasting. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that فَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ إِلَّا رَمَضَانٍ وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ أَكْثَرَ صِيَامًا مِنْهُ فِي شَعْبَانٍ. That I have never seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast for a whole month besides the month of Ramadan. Okay, so this gives us an indication that yes, we need to be preparing in Sha'ban, but we're not to fast the entire month, because that's not something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do, except in the month of Ramadan. Okay, so if you're going to fast for a whole month, it's got to be in Ramadan. But, however, she says that I have not seen him keep more fast outside of Ramadan in the month of Sha'ban. Okay, so Ramadan is going to be the month of complete fasting, okay, meaning from beginning to end. And the month of Sha'ban then is going to be the month with the most fasting outside of Ramadan. Now Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said that I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I do not see you fasting in any other month like you fast in Sha'ban. So he noticed. And this is interesting, because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means, would be paying attention to every act, every detail of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he noticed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast the most in the month of Sha'ban, and he was curious, he wanted to know that why is it? You know, I don't see you fasting any other month like the way you fast in Sha'ban. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ شَهْرٌ يَغْفُلُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ بَيْنَ رَجَبْ وَرَمَضَانِ. That he said, that is the month to which people do not pay attention. This is the month, Sha'ban, the month we are about to enter. That is the month from which people do not pay attention. They are distracted with regards to this month. They don't give it, essentially, the value that it deserves. And it is the month, he went on to say, in which deeds are lifted up to Rabbul Alameen. So I like for my deeds to be lifted when I am fasting. Okay. So the first thing we learn from this from the words of the Prophet ﷺ is that the reason for his fasting more in Sha'ban than any other month apart from Ramadan was because it's a month to which people do not pay attention. So he wants us to pay attention to it. He is indicating to us that the month of Sha'ban is not a month to disregard and to think, well, you know, Ramadan is coming up anyway, and I'm going to have to fast, I have all these, you know, I'm going to be in an altered schedule, so let me enjoy all I can in Sha'ban, let me party my way through Sha'ban, so that when Ramadan comes, I've enjoyed myself enough, so that now I can, you know, I can worship and I can fast. That's not the approach that the Prophet ﷺ is indicating to us. Rather, what he's indicating that the month of Sha'ban is a very special and important month in the lead up to the month of Ramadan. So don't disregard it, don't think of it as something which is not important, and don't just, you know, let it pass by like that. It is something that should be noticed. Now the second thing is that he says that the deeds are lifted up. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what form that happens in, right? But this could be in the form of annual reports, it could be records that are presented and filed, or maybe put into our book that we're going to receive in our right or left hand. Inshallah, in our right hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But whatever the form of the deeds being lifted up, Prophet ﷺ was concerned enough that he wanted to be in a state of fasting when those deeds were actually lifted up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever form they occur. Meaning that he wanted to be in a state of fasting, in a state of worship, when that actually happened. Now Aisha radiallahu anha used to make up her missed obligatory fasts in the month of Sha'ban from the previous Ramadan. Because before the next Ramadan came along, they made sure that the previous fasts that were missed were all complete and were in order before the next Ramadan came along. And the Prophet ﷺ, because of course he would do optional fasting through the year, various times of the year, various times of the month, and if he happened to miss any of those due to travel or, you know, other obligations or engagements, then he too would also make up for those fasts in the month of Sha'ban. So he would also catch up on his missed, not obligatory fast, but the missed optional fast in the month of Sha'ban. And Aisha radiallahu anha would be making up her missed obligatory fast and other fasts as well, perhaps. So we know from the actions, from the indication of the Prophet ﷺ, that Sha'ban is a special month, and of course he highlighted its importance by fasting in that month more than other months apart from Ramadan. Now as far as our pious predecessors are concerned, apart from the fasting, they would also focus on the Qur'an. And there are various stories of our pious predecessors, of our Salaf, who would, you know, close their businesses, close their shops, and focus on the recitation of Qur'an in the month of Sha'ban. Or who would, put aside the other, optional acts of worship to some degree, and focus more on the recitation of the Qur'an. One of them said that Sha'ban is the month of the reciters, of the Qurra, the Qur'an. This is the month of Sha'ban, and of course, if you're someone who leads, you know, Taraweeh prayer, then of course you have an extra incentive or motivation to be practicing in the month of Sha'ban. But nonetheless, it is a month where we want to be developing our connection with the Qur'an. So it's the time to warm up, and we want to revive our hearts. You know, we don't want to be cold. You start a car in the winter time, you know, it's minus 30 outside, wind chill is minus 40. Okay, I don't want to remind you about winter again, but it's okay, it's not coming now, alhamdulillah, for some time. Okay, so it's so cold outside, your car's not in the garage, you didn't park in because your garage, either you don't have one or, you know, there's too much junk in there. Anyway, your car is parked outside, and you need to go in and you need to leave in a hurry, you're running late for work or for an appointment in the morning. You're gonna get in that car and you start it, you know, you're not gonna be able to zoom away, especially if the weather's not good, right? And it's been out there in the cold for the whole night. You need to let it warm up, okay? So when the month of Ramadan comes along, you know, we don't want to find ourselves in that situation, you know, where people look at our face and they know something's wrong, and, you know, we're all withdrawn and, you know, getting dizzy and having all these issues, okay? Because we want to hit the ground running as soon as Ramadan comes. We want to hit the ground running as soon as Ramadan comes. So this is the time to get into that rhythm, to grow into it. Because whenever we start something new, it takes time. Right now, of course, we may have fasted before, but these days, of course, are getting longer. And, you know, we haven't fasted regularly probably for the last 11 months or so, so we need to get back into it. So this is a great time to actually get into that rhythm, because the fasting is going to be physically demanding, and spiritually as well. Okay, because if we are distracted, if we are, you know, occupied, or our physical side is taking a toll on us, then it becomes actually very difficult to be able to focus spiritually. Right? So in order to be at our prime in a spiritual sense, we have to take care of ourselves physically. And that's why that, you know, it's something that requires preparation as well. So before we get into it, let us think about what are the areas that perhaps we need to focus on, so that when Ramadan actually comes along, we are ready for it mentally, and we are also prepared for it physically as well. Okay, so from a practical point of view, it's important to note when suhoor is going to be, when iftar is going to be, just so you can be prepared in your mind. Okay? So on the first day of Ramadan, Fajr is actually going to begin at 3:17 a.m. Okay, so your suhoor is going to happen before 3:17 a.m. is when you will finish, when you will stop eating. And iftar, maghrib, is going to be at 8:56 p.m. Okay, so you do the math. 3:17 a.m. to 8:56 p.m. Okay, so that's about 18 hours or so. Okay, so a good chunk of the day. So that's something we need to think about and we need to prepare for. Okay, so as far as meals are concerned, yes, this is a good time if you haven't, you know, if you've been slacking off on your diet, and I'm restarting my diet as well, you know, so this is a good time to start, you know, thinking about these things. So getting your body used to, you know, fewer calories, getting used to, you know, spacing out meals, getting used to not eating something when you feel like it. Okay? Because, you know, if you're on a good diet, if you're in a strict diet, then you're going to restrain yourself from that impulsive eating, right? When you get hungry, you feel like having a bite, just go grab something and eat it. You're not going to do that if you're dieting. So, of course, if you can fast in Sha'ban, that's great, because you're not going to do that anyway. But if you're not able to fast for some reason, or if you want to prepare yourself even for the Sha'ban fasting, then it's a good time to get yourself on some sort of diet or some sort of plan, so that your body starts getting used to eating less, and you yourself, your mind, starts getting used to self-control. Okay. Medical advice is very, very important, right? I can't highlight this enough, because of course fasting is obligatory, but at the same time, it's not to be done at the expense of one's wealth, of one's health. Okay, so it's a good time to talk to your doctor, schedule a checkup, especially if you have health issues, and make sure that you are fit and, you know, you are able to fast. Now, it's better if you actually consult with a doctor, perhaps who's Muslim, who understands the importance of fasting, who understands the obligation and seriousness of it. But nonetheless, this is something that you need to look into, especially if you're on medications. How is that going to affect? Because I've seen people, I have relatives, I've seen people who, mashallah, because they've never, you know, missed a fast in their life, and they're so committed that they push their medications around, change their timings around, and their body takes it for some time, but eventually it gives up, maybe halfway through Ramadan, or after, you know, some days. So you want to be careful about doing those things. So get medical advice. If truly you want to fast, but you're on medication, and there's a potential that's going to have a serious impact on your health, then don't do it at this time. You know, don't force yourself to do it if it's going to put your health at risk and potentially, you know, create an issue for family members as well, especially if you get hospitalized and there are serious, you know, ramifications. So just be careful about that. But at the same time, you know, you don't be like, oh, you know, I got a cold, so I'm not going to fast, or, you know. So, you know, there's obviously a balance. Okay, so we understand the importance of the obligation of fasting, but at the same time, we understand that if there's a serious risk to harm to our health, especially if you know, medical professionals are telling us that, then perhaps it is better to fast at a later time. our sleep schedules will, of course, be affected as well. So it is a good idea right now, if it's not too late, to start looking at your work schedules, start looking at vacation time, if possible, start looking at, you know, leaving work early, starting early, you know, half days, whatever it is that you can do so that you can spend more time or spend more quality time in worship and in fasting, especially worship at night, instead of, you know, having that concern or realizing as Ramadan starts that, oh, okay, yeah, I need to go to work. Or, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that, you know, Isha was going to be happening around 11 o'clock and that, you know, Taraweeh was going to be over, whatever, at 1 a.m. You know, whatever it is. So think about that and plan for that now so that, inshallah, when the time comes, you have made as many preparations as possible in order to make the best of that time, inshallah. You know, we all have, most of us probably have some type of addiction. You know, hopefully they're not, you know, they're the really bad types, but, you know, even coffee, caffeine can be an addiction. You know, smoking sometimes is one that that can be something that we're involved in. So you want to make sure that we are also phasing those things out as well, because that's going to be one of the biggest causes of withdrawal as soon as Ramadan comes and then as soon as you start fasting. You know, so if you're used to that cup of tea in the morning, or if you're, you know, that cup of coffee through the day, or cups of coffee through the day. You know, so just plan for that withdrawal beforehand, so that you actually phase yourself out or phase out the caffeine from your system before actually, you know, Ramadan, before it actually comes. Organizing yourself is a great idea as well. So all the things that you know you're going to need to do in the month of Ramadan, okay, whether it's planning for Eid, or I know that's a while, you know, away right now. It's few months away, but nonetheless, figuring out your finances, whatever it is that you can do now that you're gonna need to do in the month of Ramadan, it's a lot better to do that right now during this time, so that when Ramadan comes along, you're free. And in terms of activities as well, right? Because of course kids will be home. Okay, 1 week of school will be in during Ramadan, and then after that, school will be out. Children will be around. What types of activities they're gonna be involved in, and they're gonna be going into, and driving them, and you know, or if they're not going anywhere, what are they going to do all day? How are they going to affect your sleep, and so on and so forth? So these are all things that if we think about beforehand, inshallah, we can have greater benefit in the month of Ramadan. Okay. So when we make these mental preparations, we want to look at all of this, and we want to be positive. Okay, we want to be excited, because Ramadan is an awesome opportunity. It is not a burden. It is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a burden upon us. And the most important, of course, is the spiritual preparedness. Spiritually, we want to be prepared as well. We want to be regular in our prayers. If you're already doing that, we want to try getting used to doing some extra prayers. We want to reconnect with people, with relatives, with friends who we may have issues with. We want to have a clean heart with regards to people. We want to ensure that, you know, our income, our food is halal. Of course, this goes all the time, but in particular, if you're going to be worshipping and making extra dua, these are things which can act as a barrier to our dua being accepted, to our supplications being accepted. So we want to be extra careful about that. We want to start phasing out spiritual pollution. We want to start phasing out spiritual pollution. You know what spiritual pollution is, right? So this is all the, you know, the media that we take in, that we consume, right? Whether it's television shows, whether it's movies or music or social media or whatever it may be, because all of these things affect us spiritually. Okay, the more we take this in, the more we get affected spiritually, and you're not going to get the positive spiritual effect by watching movies and listening to music and, you know, just following your social media feeds all the time. Okay, unless you all have, like, you know, pious people who are always posting good reminders, mashallah. Okay, but apart from that, it's not going to be a positive effect, it's going to be a negative effect. So come up with a diet with regards to your media consumption as well. So you wean yourself off from all the things that you have become accustomed to watching and listening. Right? Because they are going to have an effect as well. And the sooner that pollution is removed, then the sooner that, you know, you will become more spiritually alive or feel better spiritually, and then be better prepared for the month of Ramadan. Okay, of course, reconnect with the Qur'an as well. You know, how long has it been since, you know, we've touched a mushaf, or we've opened up a page of the Qur'an on our smartphones? Right? So re-establish that connection so that when the month of Ramadan comes, you actually enjoy reciting the Qur'an. It's not a burden or an obligation that you feel upon yourself. Like, you know, you really want to finish one reading of the Qur'an, and, you know, you're forcing yourself to do it, you don't really understand, or you don't really, you know, you're not, your heart is not into it, but you're just forcing yourself to do it. That's not, I mean, it's great that you're doing it, mashallah, but, you know, we want to improve that state. We don't want to spend every Ramadan in the same state where we're forcing ourselves to do things, and, you know, we're not enjoying them. If you're forcing yourself, that's great, mashallah, may Allah accept. But let's try to elevate ourselves to the next step, to the next stage, to the next level, where we actually enjoy offering salah in the month of Ramadan, where we actually enjoy reciting Qur'an, where we actually feel something apart from hunger when we're fasting, meaning we feel, you know, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we want to be aiming for, and brothers and sisters, this is the time to actually start preparing for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are blessed with the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who don't just witness the month of Ramadan but are actually well prepared for it. May Allah azza wa jal make us among those who derive the maximum benefit from it, inshaAllah. Ameen wa akhudu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A few important announcements. InshaAllah, next Friday, not today, but next Friday, May 22nd, we will be having an information session on the new Ontario Health Curriculum, inshaAllah, that of course you've probably heard about, and there's a lot of controversy regarding it. So inshallah, we will be having an information session regarding the curriculum on Friday, May 22nd. And that will be happening here inshallah at 7 p.m. And this event is only for adults. So no children please, in particular for that event. The speakers will be Dr. Muhammad Saleem from Abrar School, Dr. Aisha Shirazi inshallah from Al-Furqan School, and myself inshallah. So this will be happening Friday, May 22nd. Other events happening around town. The Iman Awards Night, inshallah, is coming up on May 24th, which is Sunday, at Tudor Hall. And of course, this is an opportunity for us to see our young people receive scholarships and other awards from the Iman Initiative, which is a MAC program. For tickets, you can visit iman.ca/Ottawa. The spelling of Iman is E, letter E, man, man.ca/Ottawa, inshallah. SNMC, South Korean Muslim Community, is also having their fundraising dinner on the same day at 5:30 p.m. At their center, and tickets are available at snmc.ca. And inshallah, Tarbiyah Learning Academy School is organizing the most exciting fundraising dinner of the year, inshallah. It's an opportunity to come enjoy a Friday night, socialize with others, and this is, you know, you'll have an opportunity to leave your kids in the kids program. Not just a cheap babysitting program, but an actual, you know, exciting kids program, inshallah. We have entertainment for adults and children, games for adults and children, prizes and surprises. So the tickets, inshallah, will be available outside after Jama'ah, and also on the website at tarbiyahlearning.ca/fun. And I personally encourage you to take part, inshallah, as this is an initiative that I'm also helping with. So please support all the initiatives, but please make sure you get your tickets soon, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Muhammad Rasulullah.
الحمد لله